Mike Parker, before I ask you specifically about Hammer and Tongue and what's going on for you at Brighton Fringe this May, which starts tomorrow, for those that are unenlightened, what is the spoken word poetry scene like in Brighton year round?
It's one of the most wonderful, open, diverse, poetry scenes that I know.
But what's good about it?
What's good about it? Tell us something that's really good about it recently is that actually all the different spoken word nights have gathered together into a kind of collective called the Peripheral Visionaries Festival. We reckon basically the Brighton spoken word scene is an ongoing all year round festival. So as well as the festival and the Fringe, we've got the Peripheral Visionaries Festival. We've collected together nights that are wild slam nights, nights that are nice listen nights. We've got very open, welcoming poetry gang nights and twisted mess with words and sounds nights. So I'm really pleased that instead of just being our own little poetry tribes, we've come together as a whole scene that where we recognise what each other's doing. We pass on participants and audiences to each other and let people know what's happening with all sorts of different energies across the city.
So there's a nice community forming around all of that diversity. But with things like the Crater Comedy Club in the comedy world and some of the improv nights like the May Days, they're year-round. So is May just another month and it just happens to then be a possible bigger audience for the Fringe? Or is there something specific that things like Hammer and Tongue and some of these other groups find unique about the Fringe and their offering in that?
Well, there is something special about the fact that people are looking out for things to see, things to go. It's like a wake up for summer. Like today, it's the first day that I've got come out in my t-shirt and left my coat at home. There's a similar thing about May. It's like people know that the Fringe is here, that the festival's here. What's going on? Let's have a look. So, yeah, we've got this stuff going on all year round, but this is also a great opportunity to say, OK, have a look at what's going on that's special in town for this month and have a look at what's going on that keeps on going on. Yeah. Also, I love to put on a couple of festival specials. We've got a Poets versus MCs festival special.
So what's special?
What's special is that we find a way of doing something unique, something different with it. Poets versus MCs, we have that combative element to it. People standing up for their own way of doing things and some humorous dissing of the opposition.
But it's a kind of friendly, chummy sort of competition, a bit like North Korea and Trump.
It's just like that, yes. I hadn't thought of that analogy. A lot of the time we've done the Poets versus MCs, people have come up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, how can you stand being with those rappers and some of the things that they say about you?" And I say, well, if you just take a step back and look, we're putting this show on together. We're creating a show. This is what the show is. It is a bit of a pantomime. Yeah.
And just to be clear, so this is a chance in Brighton to see not only some genuinely established and great poets and maybe some new poets, but also if you don't know, you can kind of experience the overlap and the difference between rapping and poetry.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we've done over 15 years. It started off just taking the mick out of each other's stereotypes. And pretty soon we found out that those stereotypes really didn't stick. We've learned from each other. The overlaps become more and more overlapping, I suppose. So our festival special this year is to take on the stand-up and slam show, which is poets versus comedians. who I guess do a similar thing, bringing in comedy into the mix. So we're taking them on a battle between two shows, but then also a three-way battle between poets, rappers and comedians.
In terms of almost the engineering of this and the sort of deconstruction of it, so if, for example, I had something to say, something to explore about, we could list these things, Brexit, you know, some political stuff,
yeah,
or something that was going on in my life, something was going on in Brighton, something about a particular issue, telling a story. What specifically do you think, what kind of opportunities open up, say, for a rapper compared to a poet, compared to a stand-up? You know, purely in terms of the words, the meter, the literature, the opportunities, the possibilities that those genres offer. What's different?
That's a good question. As I say, they overlap a lot. We've got some very funny poets and rappers that would hold their own on a comedy stage. I get that.
So there's comedy between all of them. But despite that, there is a kind of style. There is, yeah, a kind of... You know, you could train people to do one or the other, and you can learn it,
yeah,
and there's a tradition to it, and they're not all the same, are they?
No, and I think a lot of it is what tradition you come from. Where are you drawing your influences and inspiration? A lot of the rappers, yeah, they've been inspired by the rhythms and rhymes of their hip-hop heroes. I started in Brighton, wanted to be a rock star, and found myself without a band, but still writing lyrics. I took them down to poetry night and discovered I was a poet.
But it might be simply put, but so with rapping, of course there's the content, but you've got a repertoire of rhythm that's kind of fairly prominent when I, yeah, hear rap. With, say, I've seen your poetry, there is rhythm, of course, too, but it seems to start with the content.
But the thing is that, you know, for a lot of rappers, they'd say that they start with the content too. Yeah. There are some really skilled freestyle rappers in Brighton that you give them content, you know, say, can you tell me something about this? And they'll pick it up and they'll run with it and they'll create a coherent and interesting and beautiful narrative within that structure of the rhythm and rhyme that they've been used to, that they've grown up with, that they've made their genre.
Do we just not know?
Do we just not know? Yeah, we just don't know.
And this is the reason, you know, because we can do this kind of academic, yeah, talk about all sorts of stuff. In this particular case, of course you could do a PhD on it, but is it perhaps not worth worrying about what the differences are? And on the poets versus MCs night, you know, there are poets and there are rappers against each other. So I've made an assumption that part of the fun of seeing one win over the other is that they're doing something different, and I'm kind of interested in what that difference is. You know, they can do different content, and we can do that with stand-up. But is there something that, you know, makes somebody vote for the rapper because of rap over a poet that hasn't quite achieved the delivery of poetry? And I'm just interested in what that is. And, you know, can you bottle it?
Well, I suppose the rappers would say that their skill in the flow of lyric, the rhythm and rhyme, the tightness of it, is something that they would feel is superior to the poets. And a lot of the poets think, well, I'm free of those bonds. Yeah, I might play with some fairly standard rhythm and rhyme if I want to, but I don't need to, and can go broader, perhaps deeper.
So the poets are snootier. I'll go and admit it.
No, not at all. There are some pretty snooty rappers, I can tell you. And that's part of the fun, is saying, we're better than you. We're great and you're crap. Yeah, that is part of the fun, but to a certain extent, that's, you know, that's the conceit for buzzing up the energy of the show. And if someone really impresses with something from, I suppose, the opposing side, it's still worth just going, yeah, okay.
So poetry is not just lazy rap.
Yeah, lazy, lying in the park, staring at the sky, rap that can't be bothered to pick itself up to a rhythm or a beat. And yeah, dream about flowers and clouds and stuff, yes.
So finally, I mean, the ones who love it are going to come back, and they come back in high numbers to Poets versus MCs, and you've done some really great work also and continue to with young people in that area too. For the newbies, for the people browsing the programme with their magnifying glass, because it's bloody hell to read, and going, oh, let's see something different tonight, and they notice Poets versus MCs, what is it that's going to entice them along?
You're just going to have great fun. There are some really skilled workers with words.
Yeah, but I can have great fun watching the resignations in government at the moment. You know, what specifically? You know, let's just deconstruct one more thing. What is it? What is the great fun that's different from a theatre comedy night and stuff like that? What's unique about it? I love making Mike Parker at least temporarily speechless.
It's the energy of it, the combat is a conceit, but it's just so much joy involved in it.
Well, I have to add, and at its best, it's utterly compelling and beautiful, isn't it?
It is compelling and beautiful, and it is. It can go from pantomime. Boo, he's the baddie and we support the goodies, to a kind of jaw-dropping, whoa, did you see what she did there? It goes to those various extremes, and I love that it's the night made out of however many 12, 13 performers, all with their different energies. Different energies, that's what it is. It's the range of energies that you're going to find in a night, because everyone's arriving with their own way of doing things.
Mike Parker, a tiny bit of silence. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.